Hello?
You're on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Moment with Self. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Sadiq, and I have the pleasure of spending another hour with you. As you know, we are usually in pursuit of spreading more understanding in the different ways that our minds, our physiological states of being, and our emotional and psychological conditions can be stimulated to bring us optimum joy and productivity. Well, as many of you have experienced, each one of us are affected differently by different factors that, on a daily basis come to our lives and influence us. These factors are generally common, but it takes us a while to figure out how to cope with them and how to remedy the effects that they have on us, how they influence us. For example, some of us are limited in our responses to stress, and we witness how stress continues to ruin our lives. Some of us are bothered by the extra weight that slows us down, and we cannot figure out how to deal with that. Some of us may spend many nights of sleeplessness and continue ruminating in intrusive thoughts that carry themselves on our brain for all day and night, and we cannot stop them. And there are some others who are dealing with the old chronic injuries that keep us up and act up in our body and make us feel tired or exhausted most of the time. So we often speak about these topics, and we often seek help to find out how these situations can be effectively overcome, healed, and remedied. Sometimes we feel disappointed and powerless with some of these solutions, and we figure out that they don't work for us the way that we want them to. It's been my experience that with many of my clients that, there is not only one way that we can help ourselves. We can help the ailments or the factors that destroy our health and happiness. Healing and healthy growth needs simultaneous attention to different modalities. In the same way that a child has different needs since birth, when we see a mother taking care of a child, we see that how there are different aspects of motherhood required to bring health and joy to that child. The way a mother attends to holding a baby, changing the diapers, and feeding the child, it should be appropriate, and the nutrition that the child has needs certain appropriateness. So there are so many different factors in care of a baby's well-being, and as adults and as caregivers also, it is our responsibility to bring different kind of care to our body and to influence that calmness that is deserving us, to bring quality of life to a higher standard. We need to look into different modalities. So it's not surprising that as adults we also carry on to find the needs that are helping us in the different progresses of our mind, body, and spirit. Well, I have invited an amazing person who, just like a caring mom, has brought her knowledge and her talents to every client and student that she meets. She has extensive training in energy medicine since her teenage years, and her trainings have led her to create a healing approach that integrates three different philosophical health systems in order to assess the energy imbalances in the body. She uses yoga therapy, Chinese medicine, and the nutritional muscle testing with nutritional remedies as her tools. All of these three systems work together to create checks and balances that support her clients' wellness and flow. I've had the privilege of being her student in yoga classes for many years, and I have also enjoyed her meditative chants that is soothing and healing at the same time. She's Tara Gold. Tara has been teaching yoga in the LA area for about 18 years. She's a certified yoga therapist, a licensed acupuncturist, a clinical nutritionist, and has an allied professional degree in integrative body psychotherapy. As the founder of the holistic medicine company Terra Wellness and the co-founder of Yoga Doctors, she also co-directs Yoga and the Healing Sciences. She has been featured on the cover of LA Yoga Magazine and in acclaimed book of Yoga for Dummies and Shakti. She is currently working on a comprehensive yoga therapy book that highlights the uses of yoga therapy within specific medical fields with Dr. Larry Payne, who is considered one of the godfathers of the yoga therapy in the West, and also with Dr. Eden Goldman, who is the co-founder of the Yoga Doctors. But most currently, she is releasing her first mantra music, and this new album is called Sun and Moon, Yoga Bhakti Groove Sessions, which will be released through online newswire the next couple of weeks and offers 8 tracks of soothing, transcending, and festive grooves that celebrate spirit coming together and life force itself. Let me introduce you to Tara Gold. Hi, Tara. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Daniel. I hope you can hear me all right. Can you?
Oh, yes. You sound perfect. How are you? It's so good to have you on this program. I know you for a relatively long time, and I've always enjoyed what you bring to your sessions, to your patients, to your clients, and it's a privilege to have you on this program and have our listeners to get to know you and the amazing work that you put out in the world.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be on your show.
Well, you know, the first question I want to ask you, since yoga is what I know that you have been teaching for a long time, what else you're involved in the form of a therapeutic or healing modality or mission that, you know, it allows you to have that comprehensive or holistic approach to your work?
Well, I think you absolutely covered my bio so thoroughly and wonderfully. But I will say that I did decide to go deeper from, let me say it a different way. In yoga, there are plenty of depths and aspects that can be explored. But at a certain point, I did decide to go into other forms of Eastern medicine. And like you mentioned, became a licensed acupuncturist and made sure to also study herbal remedies and clinical nutrition. And with that, along with integrative body psychotherapy work and the work I bring with the aspects of yoga, like yoga therapy, meditation, pranayama, breathing exercises, and with mantras, I've been able to work with people in some pretty unique and incredibly effective ways to support them with a variety of ailments or issues that come up for them.
That's great. So, and, you know, since I have had the pleasure of being in some of your classes, I've noticed that it's not just yoga that you teach even. You incorporate some breathing in there. You have beautiful music and, you know, songs that you bring with you. You chant and you also set intention in your sessions. So, and I hear that musical talent always in the work that you do. Can you tell our listeners about your earlier memories of your path with music? Because I noticed that this has been with you for a long time, and now with this album coming out, I think that would be interesting to know.
Absolutely. Well, I will say that music has always been a big part of my life, and from my earliest years, I remember my grandparents singing a lot. I used to go to church choir practices with them, and even when I wasn't there with groups of people singing, I remember my grandfather in particular always singing. He was one of those people that, rather than even speaking, he'd often just go kind of spontaneously into song. And along with that, a lot of my relatives also developed that trait, probably from him. So I was around that, and I remember how good that made me feel when I was a very little child. But then also in high school, I'd say I had a really big moment of going to a concert with a man named Jayu Tal in the Pagan Love Orchestra, who in the world of bhakti music and kirtan and really the traditions of yoga music, he's one of the most renowned people, at least in the West, for that style of music. So I remember at the time thinking, wow, this is different and powerful and evoked a big quality of love in me when I was around it. But I didn't realize how much that would truly influence me until much later. And also, I can just add to that that I have the gift of also being introduced to sound therapy through therapy with someone when I was in my older teens. And she had a great influence on me in exploring what is possible with sound and healing. That also later influenced my life in a great way.
So what go ahead.
Oh, you know, there's so many ways in which I've been influenced by sound, but I would just say those are the early ones that were the foundation for
right.
it.
So what do you find in common in all of these different ways that sound can heal our body? What is the common factor? We're talking about vibration in different forms of it, but how does vibration affect us? Do you know?
How does it affect us?
Yes.
I would just say sound and tone and vibration have been used throughout the ages for as long as we can think of when it comes to religions or ancient traditions.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say even, you know, in religious or spiritual practices going way back, from ancient India, the Vedas talk about things like how speech is the essence of humanity. And the idea is that even that sound and speech is what influences our ability to make something even real and exist. So even from those earliest days, sound has been an enormous focus. And even if you look at other traditions, like even in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or if you go into Buddhist techniques in Hinduism, they all talk about the use of sound and the importance of it, even to the point where the Dalai Lama has been known to say that without depending upon mantra, Buddhahood or Buddhism and Buddhahood cannot be attained. That's how important it is in those traditions. I'll also add that in the ancient traditions, I remember at one point going to Egypt, a couple times in my life I've been to Egypt, and going into ancient temples that were considered as old, some of them, gosh, 7,000-8,000 years old, where the entire architecture was based on designed to attune people in their bodies like a musical instrument when you walk through, as is the case in other ancient architecture, designed to treat our bodies as if we are musical instruments ourselves and to align us to that deeper awareness within ourselves. So that's what I'd say it's been a big part of traditions of spiritual practice or traditions of ancient cultures. But I'd also say, you know, when you look at the use of sound, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. Emoto's work with water, but he's a great example of how the intention or the use of sound can even influence water and the molecular makeup of water. So given that so much of us ourselves are made up of water, mm-hmm. it makes sense that using sound and vibration as a form of healing can have a profound effect on us, as well as what happens with many animals, you know, whales, for example. Every year they have a new song as a way of tracking and connecting with each other, and all the whales around the world know this song. Somehow they all know this sound. So I would say sound is inherently one of the purest and certainly the oldest ways of healing that we have.
Absolutely. And I think since we were talking about children and how, you know, all of these modalities are almost like childcare. As a mother holds a baby and just sings a lullaby even to, you know, bring peace and calmness to the baby. Since birth, we're used to that calming, soothing sound that comes from a caretaker. And I guess that resonates within us all through our lives.
I would actually say that probably even begins, well, certainly begins scientifically. We know that, how to say very personally and honestly, that I'm pregnant and that I hit the point of being 16 weeks along. I was told that through science that it's proven that the baby hears my heartbeat now and my voice and can recognize it.
Definitely.
So it goes even before you're born.
No, absolutely. And I remember with my children also when my wife was pregnant. So based upon what you just explained, we used to play music when, my wife was pregnant. And the music when my son was born would be soothing him in his bed whenever he was crying. So he was hearing that music in utero and getting used to it. And it influenced him even when he was, born. So, yes, definitely scientifically, we see how in utero children are responding to the sounds in the outside environment and how a soothing sound or a harsh sound can have these effects on children. So congratulations and thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm wondering how talented that baby is going to be with everything that you know and with everything that you do. So looking forward to meeting the baby.
I look forward to having you meet the baby.
You have another baby in the term of music that's coming up, the sun and moon. So that you have created another creation even before this. So how did you get started with that? What influenced you to start with sun and moon?
Oh, boy. Well, like I said, I'm sure the influence started very young, early in life. But I will also say that in more recent years, when I was in college at UCLA, I actually studied world arts and cultures as my undergrad degree. And part of that was studying ethnomusicology and the use of sound and ritual and religious practices. And I also at the time got really inspired by the LA electronic music scene. So even back then, I was starting to work with sound with some of the local people, with people that were part of KCRW and a wonderful producer named Kevin Crossland, who became my music partner. But it really wasn't until about 2010 where, around 2005, I also was reintroduced to chanting and mantra as a powerful part of yoga. But in 2010, I had the honor of working with a friend, Masood Ali Khan, on an album that he did called Hang with Angels. And that was so inspiring for me that I knew at that point I would absolutely create an album myself. And from then until now, it's been in process, and I'm just so happy to birth that baby. it is sun and moon. Most of the mantras are in Sanskrit, ancient sacred language, but there is one track, the song Sun and Moon, which is also written in English.
Mm-hmm. So now with all these modalities that you are using, now including the mantras and the chanting, how are you incorporating them right now currently in your work? Where is your focus mostly attended to, and how you're immersed in your work right now?
Well, I would say that my work is in some way always based in sound, but I wouldn't say it's always through mantra or through chanting. But everything that I do, a lot like, I love the name of your business, actually, Wheel of Well-Being, as a way of describing how I work, because every aspect of what I do in some way relates to the essence of sound or rhythm or harmony. And, with acupuncture itself, which is an energy-based medicine, you're working with frequency. You're working with frequencies that affect the nervous system and help to rebalance us into generally most people need to be a bit more parasympathetic in their nervous system because they tend to get so stressed out and overly sympathetic. So acupuncture has become a really wonderful way to support people with that. And sometimes with that, I use tuning forks, which are sound vibrational tools, which I can actually put on the person's body to assist them in just kind of recalibrating in that way. But I would also say that through yoga therapy, when I do individual sessions in particular, I will often give people a mantra, something that they're working with on their own, and sometimes we'll chant together, and even in energy medicine, in the Hindu traditions of energy medicine, the chakras or wheels of energy all have sounds to them as well. So oftentimes I will remind people to work with those sounds if there's a certain place in their body that's having some disturbance or imbalance for them. Another thing is just even through nutrition. So a lot of times when I work with people with nutrition, I've noticed there are an incredible amount of people who have digestive issues or many other issues through nutrition, that I've found that if I talk to them about the environment they're eating in or how they eat, whether or not the sound in the room or the TV is affecting them, it has a big effect also on their ability to assimilate their food, their ability to receive it in a positive way. So these are all ways that with the sound and with my work that it's come together very well.
Yes, I can imagine, because we all are depending on our what goes into our bodies, basically what makes us. So if we are not caring about the kind of nutrients that we take in, I guess the imbalances are going to show up. And I'm wondering what kind of nutritional support do you give? Is this through kinesiology? Is this through testing? How do you incorporate that?
As a licensed acupuncturist, we're trained in Eastern and Western based nutrition, and so I basically do quite an extensive intake with people in the room, and also through pulse taking and through observation of the tone of their voice and quality in their eyes, skin, luster, various things like that give me insight into certain deficiencies, looking at their nails, their hair. And also I do sometimes run lab tests for people if it's needed. And often these days it's very helpful, so I definitely incorporate that. And then, yes, I do use kinesiology. Sometimes I find that that's an incredibly effective way to also support people with nutrition.
Great. So I have picked a couple of songs from your album, very short pieces of two songs. The first one that I have chosen is Gayatri Mantra. Can you say something about it, about the words, the meaning, and the significance of it before I play it, please?
Sure. This mantra is so dear to my heart, and every yoga asana practice, which means, every yoga practice that's focused on doing postures, always begins for me with the Gayatri Mantra. So whether I say it internally for myself or if I say it with a group of people, I'm sure you've heard me say it many times, I start with this mantra. It's considered one of the oldest mantras in all of the ancient mantras, and some say it's the oldest. And the words are Om Gur Guvaha Svaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Vargo Devasya Dimahi Diyo Yonaha Prachodayat. And it translates, there's many translations, but one of my favorite ones is that it's saying, Earth, mid heaven, heaven. Let us meditate on that most excellent light of the divine sun, that it may illuminate our minds, which also represents, if you want to consider it this way, the earth, the lower body, the mid heaven, the midsection, the heaven, the upper part of our body. All of us, all aspects of us, meditate on the light of the divine sun, so the divine wisdom of the universe, that it may illuminate us, that it might affect not just our minds, but really our heart mind, our minds that rest deepest in our hearts. So that is the meaning. And I will say that when I was in India many years ago, it was sort of strange to many of the people I met there, like cab drivers, that I would teach yoga asanas. But if they knew I knew the Gayatri Mantra, they said, "Ah, you know the true yoga." So it's one of those things that that people in India really hold dear to their hearts. So
Let's listen to
sure.
it again.
Please, yeah.
Aum Bhurvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yonaha Prachodayam Aum
Yeah, it just, you know, there's something about your tone of voice and the power of the words that even without understanding, it grabs you, it kind of takes you on.
Thank you. That was my experience when I learned it and why I keep singing it myself.
Very nice. So now that we have heard this, so... guide us through how hearing this influences your integration and the comprehensive approach to healing, how this brings it all together. I know you talked about the similarity to the wheel and how it holds it together. Can you tell us in different fields that you work how each one is influenced by your music?
By my music or the use of sound?
The sound and what you bring to it.
Well, I would say that within myself, I'll say that as I'm working as a practitioner, it's quite often that when I'm not speaking, I'm actually reciting mantra. It's been a practice for me that I find incredibly empowering. And actually, I'd love to talk about that a little bit because mantra itself is such an ancient way of connecting to kind of deeper source within us, our deepest place of knowing and trust. And so for me, even if I haven't given that to a patient, I'm using that as a way to access a deeper sense of intuition and support for the patient, whether they know it or not. And the word mantra, actually, I actually would love to tell you the meaning itself because that can be quite interesting. Mantra comes from the word manas or mind, and tre or tra comes from protect or to free from. So the idea with the word itself, mantra, means to free from the mind, yeah? So to free ourselves from the things that distract us or overwhelm us. And so I would say in that sense, By making that a practice myself, I feel that I'm supporting another person. And again, it's not necessary for them to have to do that themselves, although I think it's a good idea. But
yes,
even if it's me who's doing it, I do believe it's having an effect. And there's a physical vibration and an intention of healing that goes with that that I think can be very supportive in a deep way. It's like the most ancient form of inner prayer. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, and I'm wondering how in fitness it's used, because I know that you use it in fitness as well.
Well, you know, there's quite a number of studies that even have been done with prayer or chanting and how they can be effective. A lot of cases, even with cancer, I wish I could give you exact scientific studies, but I can't in this moment. I'd have to look it up for you. But I can tell you I've come across many that have described greater, quicker healing just from the use of using prayer or mantra. So it's incredibly helpful tool for everybody, in my opinion. Because, again, it's not just the words. It's an intention that rides on the words.
Mm-hmm.
And our focus of intention and the quality of positive intention is such an enormous contribution to our immunity and our ability to be healthy and well.
So how about the other song? Maybe I'm not saying it right. Lakshmi chant?
Lakshmi, yeah. You said
right.
It well.
Can you give us some information on that? Because I have picked that one for our listeners also. So why don't you give us some information on the words, the meaning, and the origin of this chant, please?
Okay. So this chant is titled Om Mata Lakshmi. And or actually, Om Mata Lakshmi is another way of saying it. And Om is considered, or Aum, you can say it both ways, but Aum would be more accurate, is considered one of the oldest sound, or in ancient Vedic traditions, Aum is considered the sound of the universe itself. So when we sing that, it's bringing us to resonance with that deeper connection of all of nature and all of things. Matur, or Mata, means mother. And Lakshmi is considered the goddess of abundance, but that doesn't mean necessarily a deity. It means the quality of abundance in many ways of life. Yeah, so that it doesn't just mean abundance of finances. It means abundance of health, abundance of joy, abundance of whatever it is that we know we may be needing more abundance of. And another part of the chant says, Om Namo Shrim Lakshmi. And Shreem is considered what's called a seed syllable for Lakshmi. So it's another way of creating resonance and connection to abundance. You'll also hear in the chant Jai Ma, which means like hail or victory to this energy of the mother, which represents creative force, creative source in all of us, men, women, everybody, not just women.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, it's so beautiful. It really is so.
Yes.
You wanted to play some of that? Is that what
yes.
you were saying?
Yes. Hey. Let's go for it.
Okay.
this one is even more powerful than the other one. Yes, really, I'm enjoying the CD. I already received all of them, so I've been really listening to all of them, and they're all beautiful. So if our listeners want to hear the album or purchase it, what should they do? Where do they get it?
Well, I just created a new website for that album alone, and it's terragoldmusic.com. And my name is spelled Terra, T-E-R-R-A, gold like the color, music.com. Or people can also find it on CD Baby and iTunes, which just started carrying it this last couple of days.
Great.
And yeah.
I understand that you have a release party on November 18th. How is participation in that? Can the local listeners participate in your release party?
Absolutely. I'm really hoping we'll have people from, you know, all kinds of people who don't even know what Kirtan is yet come and visit and be part of that. It's going to be at a very special place, the Kula, which is at 1231 Lincoln Boulevard in Santa Monica. And it'll be from 7 to 9:30 p.m. on November 18th, which is a Sunday night. I'll have the original band there that performed on the album playing a live set of the album. And we're actually giving funds that night, at least a portion of the funds, a good portion of the funds, to Medicines Global, who do incredible work to support people in getting their medical needs taken care of through complementary medicine. So it's a fantastic group that I'm very happy to support.
That's a great opportunity to be there, enjoy the music, meet you, and also be able to help an organization that supports people in need. That's a really good way of spending a Sunday, right? Is it a Sunday?
Sunday night, yep.
Sunday night, perfect. So, Tara, you've been gracious with all the information that you've been providing to our listeners. Now, I want to ask you if it's possible for you to teach us some simple practices that can support health through use of sound.
I would say that it starts with first recognizing what you're listening to more consciously. You know, so often we have sound going, whether it's the news or television, like I said, or music that we're listening to. To just start to pay attention to what the words are, because there's quite a strong impact that goes in on a very deep level. And particularly if it's being repeated a lot, we want to make sure we're informing our nervous system in a way that, once again, is supporting a sense of calm, because there's so many sounds around us on a daily basis that are really beyond our control that can be quite alarming. So when you can choose your sound to take, you know, special care of what it is that you are choosing. And I mentioned earlier, but I really want to say again, the importance of choosing sounds that are calming for you when you're eating. Because when we eat, it's such an important time for once again, how we give ourselves sustenance and how we give ourselves nourishment on not just the food level, but on a level of feeding ourselves, feeding our brain, feeding our heart, feeding all our organs, feeding our soul. So I would hope that people can make some choices around how to do that with sound at the same time. I've also found that not just for myself, but for patients that come to me, people that have had moments where they're feeling low emotionally, that if you can remind them to sing, you know, especially if they can, if they're afraid of their own sound of their voice, or they're afraid they won't sound good in front of other people, to encourage them to sing even in the car or in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere when they're alone. It's incredible what it does for people when they start thinking of a song that was meaningful either as a child to them or just that reminds them to be in their heart, you know? And I would just say that for the sake of anxiety and stress too, that I would imagine with the work you do, you might even recognize this, that that often what we're doing when we work with people with anxiety and stress is reminding them of what their natural rhythms are. And even
right.
that word rhythm, even that word rhythm comes from music. So finding within yourself this quality of musicality, your own sense of what makes you feel connected, again, to that deeper source of goodness, wellness, and balance. Exactly.
Balance.
Thank you.
Equilibrium that it requires.
You got it. There's a beautiful quote from Henry David Thoreau. He says that most men lead lives of quiet desperation, and they go to the grave with the song still in them. But I absolutely believe we all have the potential to turn that around. to find our rhythms.
Yes, I agree. And you and I, both of us, are in the same field of finding that rhythm, hopefully within ourselves first, and then with whoever who comes to work with us. And that's pretty much making this world as a beautiful place if we all are within our rhythms and playing the music all together. One thing I'm still not very clear, if I want to choose a mantra, for example, do I need to go to someone and get a mantra, or can I just pick something for myself and use it within my meditation practice?
This goes back to, there are ancient traditions that say you must receive a mantra from a teacher as a gift. And then there are, current states of how people are working with mantras, where mantras are being found on the internet and people are trying them. I really encourage people to at least find a mantra that they understand the meaning of before they're reciting it, because it might sound pretty in terms of how it forms in your mouth, but truly understand its meaning and its significance, so that it's not just a sound, but it's, again, bringing the intention in with what it is. So I do encourage people to certainly work with them, and they can be powerful, like I said. So I do want to encourage people to choose wisely.
To make it meaningful to them. It has to have meaning.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Right. So do you have any last words for our listeners? Anything that you would like to add at this moment?
I would just say that that I hope that this hour or this time together reminds people of the power of sound and music, not just around them, but within them. So that I truly believe that the more we connect to that, again, it's even connecting to the rhythm of our own heartbeats, or the sound of our feet, and the music it makes, or the sound of the way our arms move through the air if there's wind, and how that affects even our perceptions. Just to take all those in as part of the gift of life, and to take it in as part of what's possible for supporting our growth, our comfort, our being in our hearts as part of a day-to-day practice.
That's right. And all these practices bring us harmony. If we practice on a daily basis, on a regular basis, all these different modalities, all together, they allow us to be in a peaceful position and have harmony with each other and the same rhythm that we were talking about. I know harmony is a favorite word for you as well, right?
It absolutely is. Yes, it is. And I would say that as we find that deeper sense of resonance within ourselves, of rhythm within ourselves, we are able to find that sense of harmony with others so much more easily. So that word is dear to me, and I encourage everyone to explore that within themselves and with each other.
Perfect. So on that note, let me thank you for bringing harmony to this program and to our listeners. And I'm really looking forward to have you on some of our other programs, because you do so many different things that each one of them requires a whole different program. Thank you for all you do, and it was really a pleasure to have you on air with our listeners.
Thank you so much, Daniel. I hope I see you in yoga.
Bye.
Blessings to you. Blessings to everybody tonight.
Bye.
Bye-bye.